as a viewer, as anyone else who you know who's in the Generation Z, and you think they could learn something from this, or you think they might be interested in this, definitely point them towards our new social media platforms that we now have that are sort of there now in place for Gen Z, because we know that those are the primary ways they communicate. So we have an X account now and an Instagram account, and it's going to be a way for them to be introduced to it, because they're very skeptical and they're very judgmental. And so if you just send them straight to the website, they might be hesitant to sign up. But if they can see a little bit more about what's going on, then they see it on social media and they say, this is pretty cool.
Father God, once again, we come to you, Lord, with thanks and praise on our hearts and on our lips, to tell you, Lord, that you are our God, and we love you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities that you've been giving us to get in these rooms here and have discussions with various people about various topics relating to the Tactical Civics mission. And indeed, Lord, we say once again, we believe this is the sovereign solution to all America's ills. So, Lord, we invite you now into our time together. Bless it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, I am Brad Boardman. This is the Sovereign Solution Show. You may have been following us for some time. You may be brand new to what we're doing here, but we call it the Sovereign Solution, a little bit of a play on words, as I've said often. If we use the uppercase S in the word sovereign, we're talking about the sovereign of all the universes. And if we use the lowercase S, we're talking about we the people taking action to restore this republic to righteousness and following after the Lord Jesus Christ. So our primary goal is to be lifting up and magnifying the Lord Jesus. And today, we've got some fun in store for you, I think. If you are familiar with the Tactical Civics mission, you probably know the name David Zuniga, who is the founder of this work. And he's been at this for, I think, about 17 years now. I've only been involved for about four. But today, I have a guest that you may have seen, you may not have seen, but he is the, I think, maybe the oldest grandson of David Zuniga. This is Garfield Green, and he has recently gotten pretty much neck deep involved in our mission, especially as it relates to the Gen Z population. So Garfield, welcome.
Thank you, Brad. It's great to be here.
We we've had a couple opportunities recently to get in a room together and have discussions, just you and I, and also with some other folks. So it's been fun to kind of learn your story a little bit. But for anybody who has not heard any of I want to say long history or brief history. At 19, you've got a lot of history left to make, you've had some background. And why don't you just go ahead and tell people a little bit about yourself, maybe where you are and how you came to the Tactical Civics mission.
Yeah. So, as Brad mentioned, my name is Garfield Green, and I am David's grandson. So I'm his daughter's son, and I'm born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. That's where I'm located right now. So I grew up here, lived here my whole life. And for the past year after I graduated high school, I was a part of a gap year program that was in a really small town in Georgia called Pine Mountain, about an hour south of Atlanta. And I was there studying religious studies and leadership and philosophy. And so it was just a 1-year program, but I just got back into town a few weeks ago and to Texas. And so I plan to stay here for the duration of the summer until I move to Tennessee this fall. But as far as how I got introduced to Tactical Civics, my grandfather never really talked about his work much for the majority of my high school and before that, of course. And I really didn't start hearing about what he did until probably sophomore year of high school, when I started hearing little things about it. And I always thought, oh, that's cool. I didn't really ever care to learn about it more and to actually dig deep into what he was doing. But it was the summer after my senior year of high school when, well, actually, no, it was not summer. It was a few months before my senior year, it was wrapping up. My grandfather decided to, in his typical fashion, if you know him, to buy a car, not in Texas where he lives, but in New York. And so at the time, I was very confused at why he was doing that. And now it all makes sense after the story is finished. It'll make sense as well. But I thought, well, that's weird, but I've never been to New York, and I'd love to go with you. I'd love to get an excuse to skip school for a few days and hang out with my grandfather. And so I hadn't really had many opportunities to speak to him one-on-one and to really talk about his work at life at all. And so I asked if I could go, and he was pretty confused. He was, why do you want to go to New York and drive all the way back? But I said, well, I think it'll be fun. We don't really get to talk, just the two of us, much. And so he agreed, and I ended up going up there with him, and we had a long drive all the way from about New York City back to San Antonio, Texas. And so we had a lot of time to talk and to really dive into what he does for work. And so that was the first time that I was really immersed in Tactical Civics and had a little bit more of a grasp on what exactly my grandfather does for work and what exactly he started. And so it wasn't until about the end of that trip when he mentioned to me, he said, you know, we really do want to also be able to reach the younger generation and to be able to reach your generation. And that's just something that we haven't really done yet. And so if you know, if that's something you might want to do, helping us out, I could see, you know, we can see if you might be a good fit for that, because I think you might be, you know, I know you're my grandson, and maybe you could be someone who could go and do outreach for a younger generation for tactical civics. And so at first I was a little hesitant, and I just thought, well, you know, not really something that I want to spend my time doing. And I didn't know as much about it at that point. And he didn't know quite as much about me, at least as far as my in any sort of ability to speak or anything. So he didn't, you know, say right away, oh, you've got to help us, because he didn't know for sure if I would be even somebody that would be able to. And so in the following weeks, I thought about it more, and he thought about it more, and he ended up sending me a few emails with some more details saying, you know, different ways he thinks that I might be able to reach the younger generation. And at this point in time, me writing a book was not even in the question. That was not even part of this, but you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit later. And so it was really just, hey, you know, you join us at least and see what's going on. And so I joined Tactical Civics, and I was a member for a few months, and then I went to Georgia for that year. And so for a while, I was just getting used to everything in Georgia, how that worked and how the gap year program worked, and just starting to sort of get a little bit more comfort in that environment. And so eventually I started, you know, communicating with my grandfather again about this, and we started talking about it more. And it wasn't until the second semester that I really realized this is an opportunity that I have to be able to teach people about something that they know so little about, and that they really should know way more about. And that not only that, but it's also a platform for promoting Christianity and for promoting Jesus Christ. And so I said to myself, well, you know, college or anything else that might happen after this, it can wait. Right now, I have an opportunity to be able to teach people and to be able to help people, and hopefully even teach people about Christ as a side of that. And so I said, I'll do whatever I can to help. And so since then, I've been doing way more research, reading way more books, and now I've started writing my own book that is going to be targeting that Gen Z demographic and teaching them about civics. And so we have a lot of potential. There really is no ceiling on where this could go at this point. And so we're just
Absolutely.
waiting to see what happens.
Yeah. You know, and it's fun for me to hear you say those words, because I'm sitting here thinking he has no idea where this could go and where it needs to go, you know. And I'm sure that the Lord is gonna, you know, and I say that tongue in cheek, of course. I know you have some idea, but the fact of the matter is that and you know, you can confirm or deny this, but I think the last few months you probably have been starting to get to know a fair number more of us old people. Because, you know, here in the Tactical Civics Mission, we talk about it quite a bit, or, you know, it's just an observation that we make regularly, is that, here we are, and we really are on the leading edges of this thing still, just getting it rolling. But you know, like I say, I've been involved for about, we've had an online presence, a legitimate online presence in our training center for about 4 years now, a little over 4 years, and you know, have begun to amass these memberships in counties across the Republic. And one of the things that we older folks, and it tends to, so far it has tended to be people who are a lot of retirement age people, and people who have some time to put into this, but we've been getting ourselves educated just like someone coming up through school would get educated, lots of studies and reading books and learning things that we were all never taught. And but we have prayed, Lord, and I've told you, I'm next month I'm going to be 70. So since I came to, before I came to Tactical Civics, I told the Lord, hey, I've pretty much done everything that I had on my list. So I'm ready anytime, Lord. I figure every day is a new award from him. But since Tactical Civics, I've been praying, Lord, it'd be fun to live to 100 so we could actually see some of these things we're working on it come to fruition. But all that to say that we have definitely been praying for younger people to come in, because there is, without question, to carry the things that we're teaching on into the future, it's going to take, the Gen Xers, the millennials, the Gen Z population, coming in and learning what we're learning, and then in turn teaching it to others. So, it's pretty exciting for us to have folks your age, Garfield. So, thanks for coming.
Anytime.
Really, thanks for listening. I have no doubt that the Lord, has been working this in your heart and mind. And, as you say, it's certainly a platform for declaring Jesus as the High King. And that really is our primary goal. So, but, well, I've got a just a kind of a sheet of little things that we might talk about. Certainly, we want to hear a little bit about the book that you're working on. But maybe just for starters, when you look around our culture, somebody your age, and of course you specifically at this point, you look around our culture and see the things that are happening in our society. Do you are you more hopeful or more concerned about things, or is it about 50-50? Give us your thoughts on your observations of our society.
Well, I am more hopeful, and that is definitely not the view that a lot of people my age do have, though I will say that's not the, I would say, the majority what they believe. But I think there's good reason to be hopeful, because there's a lot of signs that, for one thing, Gen Z is the biggest generation that we've had in a very, very, very long time that has a majority conservative, and their parents are not conservative. And so I think a lot of them are seeing everything that's going on in the world right now, the just complete and utter chaos and madness. I mean, you look at the riots that are going on, and all of the stuff, and with the politics and Trump and all of this stuff going on, and the war and that are happening in other countries. And I think people are seeing this stuff, and they're seeing these ideologies that are being pressed upon them in America, and they're saying, like, this cannot be the way that things are supposed to work. This can't be right. There's just no way. And so some of them, the ones that actually want to do the research for themselves, they're looking into it more, and they're seeing, you know what, this, you have to have a certain worldview. Everybody has a worldview, and whether you want to admit it or not. And it's just the lens through which you see reality. And I think more of this generation is now able to see through a lens that is slightly more conservative. And I think a lot of them are seeing through a lens that are a reality that lines up with Christianity, because it makes sense and they're seeing the truth in it. And so there, it's hard to tell. It really is hard to tell where things are going to go, because there is a lot of uncertainty. But I think there's a lot of things to look at and say, you know what, I think if we actually can stand up right now, we can do our part and we can do everything that we can, and I'm going to do everything that I can. I think that there's a good chance that it will be a hopeful future for this generation.
Well, I would imagine that folks your age probably, and I know Gen Z spans a, I'm no expert on what years the experts go by to define Gen Z, but I would imagine that folks your age probably aren't. They're not necessarily yet, well, like somebody like you, 19 years old, not really in the mindset of growing a family yet. You're just coming up out of the school age years and maybe college age, still concerned with studying, concerned with how am I gonna, what do I want to do to make a living, so on and so forth. And but as you guys move along, I think you'll be automatically thinking the same kinds of things that some of us older folks are thinking is, hey, we better start planning what we're going to do when we do, when I, Garfield Green, start to raise a family. How am I going to be doing that to pass on these things that tactical civics teaches in order to actually see our constitution enforced, so might be early in the game for you, but I'm imagining that some of those would be in your thoughts in the not too distant future. I was going to ask too here, in your travels around and your interactions with folks your age, any observations as to what your peers think about, or have they ever even thought yet about the idea of enforcing the Constitution? Have they ever even thought about the fact that grand jury is a huge tool for that? I'm curious, does somebody who's in their 19, 20, up through, 25-ish, have they given any thought to the whole idea of militia as being something that is needful in order to enforce a constitution?
Not one bit, Brad, not one bit. And I think it's not because they don't care all the time. I think it's just because they have never been taught this stuff. They didn't, they just didn't learn it in school. And so these people don't think about that ever, let alone on a daily basis. And for the vast, vast majority of them, I have yet actually to ask a single person my age, according to the Constitution, who is the highest form of authority or government in this country? And they don't know. They don't know the answer to that question. And so, I get a lot of people that will say, "Oh, it's Congress, right? Or it's the president. It's the president,
Exactly
right?"
what our servants want us to think.
Exactly, exactly. And I do think, though, that a lot of them are interested to learn about it once they realize, and as soon as they get hooked and they see, oh, wait a second, this is how it gets. The first words of the Constitution are "We the people." That makes sense. And so then they start putting it together, and I think a ton of people, certainly enough people out there in the United States right now are going to be eager to learn about this stuff. They just don't know it yet because they've not even been introduced.
And that is so true. One of my lines, one of my regular lines is when they arrive at Tactical Civics and this body of information that we're educating on, they begin to have the curtain of ignorance lifted. And because really, I'm convinced that that's across the land, that is one of the chief hurdles for us to overcome right now, is the fact that people are flat out ignorant about true civics, how it's supposed to operate. And I have a little direction that I'm planning on going with this, but let me ask you this question. So, what does your peer group think about politics?
Honestly, I think a lot of them like the idea of it. They say, I think it's pretty strong on one side or the other of either, oh yeah, I love politics, and their idea of politics is just, I just want to put my opinion out there and be controversial in some way and talk about it. Or there's just the other hand of people who just say, I want nothing to do with politics and I just don't want to talk about it.
Well, and my take, and I'll say my take on that from afar, from a generation, several generations, older than Gen Z, is that they're pretty disgusted with what really the rest of us are disgusted with. This whole business of blue, red, Democrat, Republican, and I should be real clear here in tactical civics, we do not spend any time on that. We are not about politics, party politics. Our stance is that we've had the political theater going on for generations now, and every time you have an election cycle, there's all the fol-de-rol, we've got to elect the better people, and oh, we've got to have this person in, and we got to get that person out, and this and that, and my observation is that party politics has never ever solved any problem on any kind of a permanent basis. Along the way, with an issue here and there, we might get a band-aid put on something to keep it from hemorrhaging worse. But really, in terms of actually solving a problem, party politics has had their chance and they've failed time and time and time again. But it's the only thing that our society knows, generally speaking. And so and that's why tactical civics is so part of our job is to break through that noise and say, hey, stop for just a minute. Stop your hyperventilating over this or that for just a minute and consider this. How about if we leave aside the political fol-de-rol and look at our Constitution and see how we could cause our politicians to operate within it. Wouldn't that be a novel thing? And again, I want to get your thoughts here, but where I was going with that is, in my mind, the system that we have that is actually laid out in the Constitution is a fantastic system. Okay. But having that fantastic system doesn't do us any good unless we enforce it and cause people to operate within that system. And because and I say that because every once in a while I hear well, people in my generation and in any generation thinking, oh yeah, we've tried this, we've had this system, and we just need a whole new system. And I maintain we don't need a whole new system. We need to live within the system that we've got. I don't, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree completely that it is a brilliant system, and it's something I think the current government that we have right now, the less that we know about that, the happier they are. And they don't care whatsoever if we are informed on that stuff, because the more power we give them, the better for them. And they keep getting more power because guess what? We're letting them. Nobody's doing anything to stop,
Precisely.
stand up to that. No one's doing a thing. And so they say, well, why would I not take advantage of this? They're looking from at things from a worldview that's completely corrupt
Yeah.
and that doesn't line up with truth or reality whatsoever. And so they're saying, well, the more money that I can extort and the more power that I can get, the better. You know, it doesn't, I don't care if I'm taking advantage of these people. And so if nobody's going to stand up and nobody's going to do anything, they're just going to keep doing it. It's as
Yeah.
simple as that.
Yeah. You have stated it very clearly and accurately, I believe. So we not too long ago in a Sunday evening, one of our Sunday evening calls, Jeff Calhoun, our national spokesman, really did a great job of describing the difference between authority and power. And the point being that we, the people, stipulated in the Constitution that we have the authority. We are the highest authority in this republic. But what you have is two different flavors of power. There's righteous, legitimate power, and then there's unrighteous, illegitimate power. And that's what we see so prevalent. We the people have the authority, but we've allowed the evildoers to exercise this illegitimate power over us. And so in turning this around, we've got to get back to we the people again taking the wheel and begin exercising our legitimate power over this republic. So stick with me. You'll probably hear a few little bit of Brad isms along the way here, but
No
that's
worries.
one of them that Jeff, I thought, did a good job of taking apart, putting it back together for us. The Gen Z folks, one of the, I would say, it'll be fun to get your observation on this. You guys have, from the cradle, grown up with technology, digital this and digital that, and all kinds of different tools and communications. It's always fun to ask whether, and I might have asked you this before in one of our conversations, do you know what a rotary phone was?
No, I can't say that
So you're the smartphone generation. Probably, I don't know if you were born into whether smartphones had actually happened when you were born or whether we were still on the flip phones or what, but certainly we all had phones that we were packing around with us when you were born, as opposed to, oh, gotta go use the phone booth or find a phone that's plugged into a wall someplace so I can talk to somebody. So I don't know if that has been much of a realization for you yet or not. I suppose you'd have to know some of the older ways of doing things in order for that to be a real difference maker.
And the way that I think it plays out for the most part is if it's something that you were born into the world and it already existed, then that's just completely normal to you. And if it's something that you were born into the world and then it happens when you were young and it discovered, then it's cool and it's creative and it's innovative and you're excited about it. And if it is created and invented when you're older, then it's seen as, for the most part, oh, I don't really like this because it's not natural and it doesn't work.
Well,
And
'cause it
so it,
usually involves me having to change something.
And so we're in a very interesting point in time where things like smartphones, which are, these supercomputers in your pockets, and artificial intelligence is the normal thing, and that's what's these people are born into a world where that's just it's just there. And
Yeah.
so it's a very interesting time for us.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I, you know, yeah, AI, that's a whole other topic that I am certainly no expert on the whys and the wherefores of it, but I can sit here and tell you that I have a very excellent friendship with ChatGPT. So
That's great.
I get a lot of people laughing when I read them bits of conversation between me and chat, you know, but you know, that tool helps me a lot, so it's pretty exciting, really. It's pretty phenomenal, you know, the technology involved there. But well, what, so you are in the process of writing this book, and why don't you give us a little idea of the genesis of that idea, and then maybe tell us a little bit of, about how you're approaching it, maybe what kinds of yeah, so like maybe for example, and I don't know if you're how far you are, but if you have some ideas on chapter headings, you know, you know, that you're using in your process.
Yeah, for sure. So the book, I don't remember when the idea came to write a book between me and my grandfather, but we decided that, you know what, doing this, it's not only going to help me learn so much. The process of writing a book, to write a book, you really have to sort of become what you're writing and become the content that you're writing. And so it's going to help me a lot because, and it has already been helping me so much because I'm learning, but before and then more in depth as I go with this. And it's going to open a lot of doors, hopefully, as well. But it's really exciting. I've never done anything like it. I've never written a book. I have done a lot of writing in my life, but never a book. And so this will be the first book that I've ever written. And the title of it is Alive in This Time. And the subtitle is A Real Plan for Gen Z to Glorify Christ and Enforce the Constitution. And
Nice.
so this book is going to be short because Gen Z has a very short attention span, but it's going to be as crammed with information that is just brutally honest and hitting them with reality, and hopefully just a bit of a wake-up call as this is what's going on in our country right now. This is the world that it's appears we're growing up in, and this is where we look like we're going forward. This is what we can do, a real plan for us to be responsible American citizens, and this is what we can do to make a difference so that the world that we grow up in, the world that we raise our kids in, is not a total disaster. And so the chapter, as far as the chapters go, it's one of those things. I apparently this is common among writers, but I'll procrastinate starting it, and then once I start a chapter, I'm like, oh man, I've got to finish it, and it's a lot of fun. And so it's going over a little range of things. The intro chapters, the first 5 or 6 chapters, are talking about some of the things that are really relevant for Gen Z. And so I talk about artificial intelligence, actually. I talk about this is what the this is going to look like for our future. This is what this is doing right now. And this is how it's similar to something like the smartphone, where it comes in and it's cool and it's a novelty at first, and then eventually it just becomes a part of every single person's everyday life. And I truly see artificial intelligence falling in that same path. And I also talk about education, primarily college education, and how it's not the same as it used to be. And the world we're growing up in is not the same as it used to be. And so all of these institutions that are pressing these ideologies and these worldviews of, there's no Christianity and you have to conform to what we believe and you have to affirm what we believe, whether it's good or bad. And they aren't in alignment with reality, to be quite honest. And there are still plenty of good colleges out there, but college as a whole right now is just something that I caution my generation when dealing with it, and they need to think about it more and think about, okay, why am I going here? And what position am I in life right now financially? And where are my dreams and my goals? And is this something that I should actually be doing instead of just following in the exact footsteps as our parents and our grandparents did?
What you've
Because
been told to do, yeah.
exactly. And because our parents did this and our grandparents did this, and the school and our peers and our teachers and everybody's telling us, all right out of high school, go to college, get a degree. It doesn't matter if you don't know what you want to do. It doesn't matter if you're going to go into tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. You'll be able to pay it off later. So just go and for the experience is
Yeah.
what a lot of people will say. And it's just crazy. And so I'm trying to get people to hopefully see college in another light and see, okay, there are plenty of benefits of college, and for plenty of people it is a necessity. All the people that want to go into the medical field, and I talk about a lot of other scenarios where a college is great, but you have to stop and think for a second, do I actually need this? And where is my life going to take me to where I'm going to need this? And so I'm hoping that those topics are really going to resonate with this generation, because they're very relevant. It's something that's super relevant in my life, and I'm part of that generation and that demographic. And so after that, I start talking about civics and politics. I haven't gotten to any of that part yet, but I w will. And
Garfield, just to pause there for a second, something that I think about, and this is something that I have observed firsthand. I don't know whether you're old enough yet to maybe have watched any of this happen yet, but I went to college. I have a de my degrees in Christian education. I went to a Christian college, so that was a plus. But secular universities, and if you're not careful and very intentional and deliberate about choosing even a what purports to be a Christian college, it's been my observation that those are great places to have your faith stolen from you, just absolutely squashed. So in other words, you may have grown up in a Christian family knowing the Lord, but I would say, it's probably fairly typical that young people don't necessarily tend to have deeply rooted faith yet. They're still discovering, the truth of the Bible and so on and so forth. And if you don't have that, and if you're not watching for it, it seems to me that, if you offer yourself to some secular university for the sake of a degree that you think you have to have, chances are you're going to come out the other end of that thing with either no faith at all or one that is really scrambled up. I don't know, if you've s started to see that yet, but I think the what you're describing, and I'm not telling you what to write in your book, but that might be something to touch on in your book, is the what about going forward, our generation going forward, as it pertains to our faith, and what will the college university experience due to it. So,
Right. And that's a great point. And I touched on that as well, of the fact that, you're being taught at an institution that's pressing their worldview on you. And a lot of these people, they're kids in the sense that their brains aren't even fully developed. And for guys, even whose brains don't fully develop until around the age of 25, I mean, they haven't even fully developed by the time they graduate from these colleges, let alone when they're being pushed to make a decision on what college they want to go to. And so as a, kid who doesn't really know what they want to do with their life, if a certain college seems appealing because it seems entertaining and you have freedom and less restrictions, then they might go there and, like you said, just completely wreck their beliefs.
Yeah. You know, something you said, you know, the universities are doing their very best to impress upon the students that they're right. Yeah. So now that's a one spot to stop and realize, because to me, it seems it's one thing for them to take the stance, hey, this that we're teaching is right and correct. You know, it's another thing, and I think it's really where they are at. They're not just saying, hey, this is our stance and it's the right stance, but they are literally trying to cram that stance down the throats of the students that are there. And you know, that is a whole increased level, I think. So,
Yep.
but well, good. You know, that really sounds like some good meaty stuff that you're getting into. And hey, I'm sure it'll be a great book, but even if you know, even if it's not a bestseller on some list, it will probably stand you in good stead for having gone through the process and you know, put your thoughts and you know, writing a book, I'm sure it forces you to have to articulate what's in your head. So
Yes, sir.
yeah. Well, very good, very good. I'm just looking at my sheet here to see whether there's anything else that I wanted to be sure to touch on. Now, okay, you have siblings. I'm just curious. You know, we might have touched on this at the front end here, but no problem circling back. So you have how many brothers coming up behind you?
I have three brothers and two sisters.
And you're the eldest of the crew?
I'm the second oldest. I have one
Oh.
older sister.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so I'm curious, you know, there's our big brother. Are any of them paying attention to what you're up to these days? I mean, are they watching, or are they just, you know, still pretty much involved in whatever they're learning?
A little bit, but it not more than I would expect from them. It's not quite their time yet to
Sure.
start getting involved in this. It's just, I mean,
Yeah.
you can at any age be interested in this stuff, but I wouldn't expect them to want a whole lot to do with it at the moment. And so it's
Yeah, of
something that
course.
as they get older, I'll talk to them more about it and, of
Yeah.
course, teach them what I can.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe back to some of this technology. Do you you know, it seems like okay, so it's one thing to write a book. It's another thing to get that material in front of people. Have you got any kind of an idea yet of what it's going to take to, you know, say you have a stack of your published books there. What do you have a vision for getting those in people's hands, and especially people of your own age?
Yes, sir. So I plan to go to college campuses as soon as the book is published, and any opportunity or connection that I can make to speak to people on a college campus and have an opportunity to speak to multiple people or small groups or the college campus ministries or anything like that, where I can speak and I can introduce them, that'd be amazing. So I love, to be honest, I love that side of this. I love networking and talking to people. And so I don't think it will be too hard to get onto some campuses because this is some pretty unique stuff and it's interesting stuff that I don't see why people wouldn't want to learn about it. And so I will bring my books to those for sure and be able to promote it there in that environment. But I guess something to go out to all the people viewing this podcast too that are already part of Tactical Civics, going forward in the future, if you do have any sort of opportunity or know somebody that is on a college campus that has a platform where they can speak, don't hesitate to reach out, and Brad can get you my contact information for sure, because we are in the early stages of all this. So anybody who has anything that they think, oh, this might be something, even if it's small, that we can speak to this age demographic, it would mean so much, and it would help out so much, because
Sure.
right now we just don't have a lot of platform for speaking to this generation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, along the way, we've certainly, again, my own observation in the last 4 years, I came into tactical civics from what I call the hyperventilating masses, out there thinking, oh man, the thing's going over the cliff here. We got to do something. What are we going to do? And then the Lord brings us to tactical civics, and boom, it's like somebody flipped on the light, and so that here we have a solution. But then, the trick is to again get folks who are part of those masses out there who have always done it the same way, every new election cycle and politics and left and right, and that's their discussion. You have to get them to stop and look at what you're bringing to the table. And we've gotten fairly good, I think, some of us older folks that have been involved in this for a while, at identifying what I call fishing holes. So in other words, there's always a rally, a political rally, or some Save America effort happening here or there. You go to the fairs in the summer, and you've got the all the different groups out there, hey, come join us and do this and do that and so on and so forth. And I call all of those fishing holes. So when we approach those groups that are certainly in large measure probably like-minded with us, at least they know that we've got to do something to change what's going on, then that makes them prime candidates to put something in their hands. And that's why I say fishing holes. So we never go there, we never go to political rallies and so on, that sort of thing, in order to sign up for what they're doing. But we go there because that's where we know they'll all be. And so they're, here's a brochure, here's my business card, look at this video, here's a QR code, so on and so forth. And so I'm imagining that probably, and especially on your college campuses that you're talking about, once you have a book in hand, those are the kinds of things that you're going to be looking for, whether on college campuses themselves or something related to the college level experience, where you can insert yourself into the conversation there. Yeah.
Right.
So, well, it'll be fun to watch, and certainly,
Yes, sir.
certainly, and I've told you in no uncertain terms, you are on all of our prayer lists. You and Bell Reese, and there'll be others coming along directly. I'm pretty confident. I believe the Lord is beginning to bring people like yourself, your age group, and so on and so forth, to the mission. So we'll be excited to watch that, and we are certainly lifting you up in prayer, that He'll be directing you. So, well,
Well,
I tell
thank
you
you.
what, I think maybe we've kind of covered the main things that I had in mind. Is there anything that you anything else you'd like to touch on, or any parting comments or calls to action, or anything you'd like to give us on the way out?
No. I think really we covered all the bases. I think if you as a viewer, as anyone else who you know who's in the Generation Z and you think they could learn something from this, or you think they might be interested in this, definitely point them towards our new social media platforms that we now have that are sort of there now in place for Gen Z, because we know that those are the primary ways they communicate. So we have an X account now and an Instagram account, and so it's a way for them to, and there's not a whole lot on Instagram yet, but we're starting it up, and it's going to be a way for them to be introduced to it, because they're very skeptical and they're very judgmental. And so if you just send them straight to the website, they might be hesitant to sign up. But if they can see a little bit more about what's going on, then they see it on social media and they say, oh, this is pretty cool. So yeah,
So
if you,
what is the X handle?
the X handle is just Tactical Civics X. That's it. So, and then the Instagram handle is Tactical Civics Official. So those are, yeah,
Good.
those are those two. So if you or anybody you know is interested in following along with that side of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, wonderful, Garfield. Thank you so much for coming away from the schedule for a little bit and spending some time with one of the old guys. And it's
Anytime.
always fun to see what you're up to. And I'm sure we'll see a lot more as we move along. So with that, I think I will turn you loose, and we'll just begin to conclude here. Garfield Green, grandson of founder David Zuniga, been a lot of fun to spend a little time with him and see what his vision is, and of course we'll be watching for his book whenever that comes out. But in the meantime, we appreciate any of you who have listened and who follow us, and may the Lord bless you.